It's not the years, honey, it's the mileage.
So welcome to another episode on actors that shaped our love of film. In this episode, Harrison Ford. This is Alex from Los Angeles.
And this is Karen from San Francisco. Welcome to Movies That Shaped Us. We're two longtime friends who grew up on opposite ends of the globe with very different backgrounds, but we're both shaped and are still being shaped by the movies we see and love. In each episode, we'll cover topics around important people, places, events, moments in our lives, and then explore it through our favorite films. In this episode, like Alex mentioned, we're going to be tackling the one and only Harrison Ford. So Alex, what is your relationship with Harrison Ford? And yeah, how do we even start to comprehend this massive star's filmography?
Yeah, this is definitely a big one. And for me, as a kid, being someone who cannot remember the first time he saw Star Wars because he's always seen Star Wars. Yeah. And then Indiana Jones and the Jack Ryan films. I mean, these all were on consistent rotation all throughout my childhood, into my young adulthood, college years, today. Like, these are movies I have always loved. And for Harrison Ford, it's interesting too, because of this obsession I had with Indiana Jones and Star Wars. So obviously Han Solo. As a child, I was obsessed with the characters he played, not necessarily even associating him as an actor or looking at his other performances, because to me, he was Han Solo. He was Indiana Jones. He was Jack Ryan. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I was high school student and then, you know, college, just starting to see just more movies and appreciating him as an actor and less of those characters, which are some of my favorite fictional characters of all time. I mean, Han Solo and Indiana Jones, I love those characters. And he was so iconically associated with those characters to me that it was almost hard, probably as a child, to, again, disassociate the actor from the character, not even like the performance, like from the character. And he was someone who always kept to himself in terms of his personal life. He wasn't someone out on the red carpet all the time or tabloid headlines about this or that. So it wasn't like there was any outside of the text context that I had for who he was, especially growing up. But for me, for sure, if someone had said, you know, as a kid, what movie characters do you love? Oh, it'd be Han Solo, Indiana Jones, and that's Harrison Ford right there. What about for you?
Yeah, that's so interesting of what you said about the actor versus the characters. It's so true in his case. So with me, it's sort of interesting because these movies didn't really travel to India when I was growing up. So I sort of have a memory of maybe watching him in What Lies Beneath.
Interesting.
Yeah. And just being totally freaked out. It's a scary sort of movie. And he's, spoiler alert, the bad guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Movie. And so I remember that distinctly. And then I feel like I've discovered him and what an amazing star he was, how handsome he was, how charming, all of that, like much later in life. As I grew older, I went started to go back in his filmography and started to see him. Of course, I knew this is the guy who played these iconic characters, but I hadn't watched these movies and I didn't watch them when they came out. So it's interesting that now he still feels such an important part of, you know, when I think about movies and Hollywood and movie stars, even though I came to him kind of late, which to me is just testament to him and his sort of omnipresence in the culture and such. So yeah, I'm very excited to dive into his filmography.
Yeah, yeah, me too. And it's interesting, you know, obviously I talked about how the characters are so important, especially though, you know, three iconic characters that I was obsessed with. But at the same time, as I started watching these other movies as I got older, he brought it outside of that too. It wasn't like he could do was a franchise like Indy or Star Wars. There was a period of time, and we'll get to it, like in the 90s, when literally every movie he made not only was fantastic, but a gigantic hit. And his persona is what carried that movie. You kind of touched on a little bit, the kind of very handsome, but not like smarmy or handsome, like cookie cutter handsome.
Yeah.
But was just a very attractive guy who had really good kind of vibes and could carry the whole movie. Like, he was, in that sense, a total movie star for about 10 years. And then kind of, I don't know whether he's not caring or the acting quality, too, at one point, I think, did like noticeably decline in terms of what the effort that I think he was putting in. But in the heyday of his career, like in the 80s and 90s, it was so effortless. He's Harrison Ford, like girls want him and guys want to be him kind of guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's very well put. Like, that's how I see him, too. somebody who's, you know, very handsome and kind of, I would say, like, maybe one of the best looking people that have ever been on movies, in movies, but weirdly also approachable, cool, but still approachable.
Right.
But yet a little bit distant. And maybe what you're saying, effortless, is sort of is the amalgamation of all of that. Like, because if you were too out there and too kind of distant, I don't think we would have that kind of a relationship with him. But at the same time, he's not playing to the audiences either, you know, in a super direct kind of way. So it's a very interesting sort of balance that he's been able to strike with his performances, but also his persona in general.
No, definitely. And I think, too, he's good at playing the lead, but a lead that you believe could be in danger or could get hurt. It wasn't the indestructible, like we covered Arnold Schwarzenegger in a previous episode in this series. And they were both big stars at the same time, like late 80s, early 90s. And Arnold was definitely the nothing, you know, he could walk through a wall and be okay. Nothing could stop him. And that's why I was obsessed with Arnold as a kid. But Harrison Ford, there was a vulnerability there, both emotionally and physically. Even when he was playing in Indiana Jones, like he would get hurt, get punched, fall down. You're like, oh, can Indy get out of this? And you're thinking he might not be able to. And he would see it on his face too. He wouldn't. There's like a doubt there of like, I don't know if I could actually pull this thing off. And that's what made that character and a lot of the characters he played too fun, because there was this sense of like, could he actually get through this? He's not really even that sure.
Which that's what makes everybody want to be him or be with him. It is that oh, how can somebody who looks like that and move like that be relatable, and he's even be comedic at times and be vulnerable at times? It's like a total star package. Like this person could be from a different era. You just add a little bit more of screwballiness and physical comedy. Like, he's not that different from Cary Grant, actually, in sort of the superstar movie star mold, because he is sort of handsome, charming, vulnerable, relatable. The only thing that Harrison Ford probably doesn't do is sort of the screwball physical comedy, if you will, because Cary Grant to me very much comes from the Chaplin school of acting and performance. So it's I'm making this up too as I'm saying this, because it just struck me that they're sort of similar in a way.
No, definitely. And I feel that what Cary didn't have, because it was not popular at the time, was that action hero. Right. He does some physical things, but he's not incredibly physical. We were covering Charade in a previous episode, and there's a fight sequence, and it's like, okay, you know, Harrison Ford would do a lot better with that, but that's just the era he's in. In a way, maybe he was passing the torch from Cary Grant to the version of Cary Grant in that age, which was what Harrison Ford was able to do. And much like Cary Grant as well, I think Harrison Ford was also very versatile. He was in sci-fi blockbusters, action films, dramas, suspense thrillers, comedies, horror films. You mentioned What Lies Beneath. So he was able to stretch his persona to a lot of different areas and work and be believable in all these different genres, which, you know, typically movie stars will have like a lane that they're playing in a lot, right? Or maybe two. But Harrison Ford could do all these different things. And I think that's why he had such a strong box office presence too in the 80s and 90s, because he could jump from all these different genres and be so effective in each one of those different kind of roles.
Totally. All right. Should we jump in?
Sure.
His filmography?
Yeah. And along the way, I'll also mention when we've talked about some of these films in more depth than previous episodes, in case people want to go back and listen to them, because we have covered about four Harrison Ford films so far in the podcast. So yeah, for him, I think there's some small parts that he was in when he started out his career. But I think the one that was really, we probably want to start with is, American Graffiti, a film we actually covered back in our Leaving Home episode 23. And this was a film, he has a small part in it, but I watch this film constantly. Again, we talked about the film back in that episode, but I think he does such a good job of playing like the swarmy sort of like romantic rival of a lot of the other kids in the in that film. It's about high school students sort of right before they go off to college, set in the 60s. And I think he does right out of the gate. You can tell he has some sort of screen presence. He's not in the movie much at all. When he pulls up in those cars, he's got that cowboy hat on. You're like, oh man, like you come off the screen. Like there's an energy there.
Leaps off the screen. Sure. You know, this person is going to be a big star. It's sort of like the Matthew McConaughey, you know, in, gosh, Dazed and Confused.
Mm-hmm.
It's
kind of
a similar thing that is barely there, but you know this person is going to go somewhere.
Exactly, right. And most of the times with these major stars, even in those early roles, like they have that it factor where you could just tell. And Harrison Ford for sure had that. I feel, again, looking really good, acting really cool. And then pretty soon after that, he's right into one of the most iconic roles he's ever played, Han Solo. And again, for me, this was, I mean, all I did was watch Star Wars as a kid. And Han is everyone's favorite, or not everyone's favorite, but most people's favorite character in that film. And I think what Harrison Ford's able to add into this film in particular is, and it's a lot of this is the character too. So I give credit to George Lucas for writing Han Solo like this. But it's having that character in the movie that constantly is calling out how silly and kind of dumb a lot of what's going on in the movie is. Mm-hmm. It's like hanging a light shadow, like, okay, well, look, the Force, like, this is silly. Like, I don't believe in this. This is kind of ridiculous, which helps sort of the audience have a surrogate of like, yeah, this is kind of silly, and makes the movie not seem too self-important. And I think Harrison Ford can kind of pull that off. He's sort of Han Solo kind of like bumbles into this movie. Like, he's not supposed to really be here. They're hiring him because they need a ship to rent, and he's like, hey, I can fly you out of here, no problem.
Right.
And kind of gets caught up in this, even though he's not really meant to be part of this narrative of the Skywalker family and all this grand saga piece. And it's Harrison Ford's persona that we talked about earlier, kind of like relatable but kind of a scoundrel a little bit, which is a word they describe Han, but that's a little bit of Ford too. And I mean, this so much of the movie, the success of this film is due to the cast, and I think a lot of it is Harrison Ford's star power, honestly.
Definitely. It just struck me that I wonder how much of Harrison Ford's own movie persona over all these decades just is connected to Han. Because like you just said, what we talked about him is not that dissimilar from who Han is. So I don't know who comes first.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We would never know, but it could be that this is who Harrison always was. And maybe when George Lucas wrote it, he kind of kept that in mind. Or the other way around, that it's Han Solo that sort of lend itself to Harrison Ford, and then that just sort of carried on in some way or the other. It's quite amazing. You know, and maybe that's why, like you said, you weren't able to separate the character from the actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, speaking of this film, with the original Star Wars, which also we talked about in episode 11 on film scores, but Lucas is very good at archetypes and like basic story beats. Mm-hmm. But he's not that great at character and dialogue. Those aren't really his strong suits. So what I think Harrison Ford did in this role was fill in those blanks, lend his own persona into it, breathe life into what Lucas put on the page for what Han Solo was. I mean, he kind of knew at a high level what this character was, but I think Ford will breathe life into this character that I think another actor might not have been able to do in the same way. So I think it's a credit to both. But to your point, he kind of embodies a lot of the Han Solo aesthetics throughout a lot of the other films in his career.
Agreed.
So just a question, because you had said that these movies didn't really travel too much to India. So there wasn't a big sense of the Star Wars films or Harrison Ford, even Han Solo growing up. I'm just a little surprised.
Maybe I was the one who missed it. It's very possible, you know, because I was at that time was such a Bollywood obsessive, and the movies that were playing in my household were, you know, the 60s musicals from Hollywood, honestly. So it could just be me. So yeah, maybe I was the one who just missed it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I was curious to hear, like, in India, sort of what films traveled and what didn't. I just had assumed Star Wars must have, but maybe it didn't.
Maybe it did. I'm just remembering now, like in undergrad, I was went to some like, I don't know, inter-college sort of competition of sorts. And they were having some like trivia game. And I just like popped by and they asked some Star Wars question. And I just knew the answer through just pop culture references. And I won the thing.
Whoa, you won a Star Wars trivia?
Yeah, which is so bizarre. Just
that is
on
really
the one
bizarre
question.
Wow, that's
but the fact that they had a whole thing, and I do remember some people had like lightsabers sitting in that sort of tent that we were in. So I guess it was there. I was just like foolishly walking through this thing. I was like, sure, I know this. And then I just walked out, and later they told me I'd won the thing. So I was like, okay.
Well, you know what? That's a testament, I think, to Star Wars, and that it just, even if you've never seen it, it's just sort of there in the culture and you absorb it anyway. But getting back to Ford, obviously this film put him on the map for sure, made him a movie star. And though, I mean, also obviously Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill did not have as successful careers on screen, at least as Harrison Ford did. So it's not all up to Star Wars. It was a lot of what Harrison Ford brought to the role. And here too, I mean, this is the period of his career, I think, when he is doing those major franchise characters, because a couple years after that, yeah, he was in Apocalypse Now and some other smaller parts. He would, you know, here and there in some films, but it was then Indiana Jones that came 3 years later, that Raiders of the Lost Ark specifically. And that film, again, now he has two iconic characters. And this is another movie series that I would watch countless times, mainly Last Crusade, which we covered in one of our episodes on Fathers, episode 18, which is my favorite of those. But this whole franchise is one of my favorites, and I can't separate Harrison Ford from Indiana Jones either.
Yeah, this is probably my favorite Harrison Ford character, no question. It embodies everything. And I guess he probably took all the experience and learnings of making Star Wars movies and applies it to this. So I think he's a lot more cooked in this movie, in my mind. But as you were talking, I was thinking about what an incredible human thing to do, to kind of have these two iconic characters back to back, massive movies, and not lose your mind and stay sane and have the career that follows. Like, how many people have done that? To
That's
have
a really good point.
You know, these like massive, and these are not Avengers movies. These movies are different in a time where this was rare. And and I still sometimes forget that, to your point, that the same person did the two things, because I look at them separately.
Right.
Which is sort of a mind trick in its own way. And the fact that he just stayed grounded and had this amazing career, pretty incredible. I don't know how he did that.
No, definitely. And it is crazy too when you think about it, because both of these, it's one, like, either of these films and roles were based on any pre-existing IP at all.
Yeah.
They were both original, in, at least in the first film, right? So he's creating these characters along with Spielberg and Lucas and, you know, everyone who worked on them as well, out of whole cloth. And when I watch Indiana Jones, I don't see Harrison Ford. I see Indiana Jones. I also don't see Han Solo either. I see Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. When I watch Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi, I don't see Harrison Ford or Indiana Jones. I see Han Solo. And that is very rare to have two major, like, pop culture characters like that, and to have the characters, like, at least for me, stand on their own and not even be confused with the actor. It's crazy. He's very rare in that sense.
Yeah. And this is the one place, I mean, you know, we covered our episode on actors and such, and I don't know if a lot of people would, like, think of Harrison Ford as, you know, the acting greats, like we talk about Daniel Day-Lewis or what have you. But I will say that, to me, like, a blockbuster filmmaking is very difficult, especially when done right. Mm-hmm. And probably Harrison Ford has the crown to play these characters that are not archetypes, even though they might have been written that way, imbue them with full humanity, full flesh and blood, and make it look so easy and effortless. Like, that takes a lot. It's probably him or Tom Cruise, who we also covered, spoiler alert.
Right.
not spoiler alert, shameless plug is what I meant to say.
Yeah, yeah.
So there are very few people who can actually do that. And Harrison Ford more so, because he's played very different. Like you said, these two are very different characters, and they're fully formed. Yeah, I mean, I will kind of count him in one of the acting greats, even though people may not feel that way, because this is not easy to do.
No, definitely not. And then we'll move in a bit to the part of his career, I think, when you can argue he is trying to stretch himself a lot as an actor. Once he has these major hits of Indiana Jones, making two of those films, you know, three Star Wars films, Blade Runner is also mixed in there too, which love the film. Honestly, I kind of feel his performance is not great. He doesn't totally work for me, to be honest, in that movie. A lot of people do defend his performance, that to me, it doesn't work so well. I don't know if you feel the same way or not, but it's something about that doesn't work for me.
Yeah, it's a bit dull. At the same time, the whole debate of, well, I guess the debate has been settled if he's an alien or not. So if he is, then maybe that's the point. He's supposed to behave that way. So maybe it all works.
He's the replicant, actually.
Yeah.
Maybe. Though I feel like that wasn't maybe what they had in mind on the set.
Probably not.
But who knows? So this, I think, is when it starts getting really interesting for him, in the mid-80s to late 80s, early 90s. This is when I think you can make that argument that you were making before about him being a really good actor, actually. So here's when you have films like Witness, Frantic, Working Girl, Presumed Innocent. he's not necessarily playing that like archetype hero anymore. He's stretching his persona a little bit, and is in a lot of these thrillers. And, you know, Working Girl, I think you can make an argument, is a bit of a comedy and a drama too. But I think this is the part of his career that's very interesting. And these are films that I did not watch as a kid, but I watched them when I was in college and really was like, wow, like this guy actually can act. But how many of these films have you seen? Any of the ones that I mentioned kind of standing out?
Oh, yeah, all of them. I think Witness might be his best performance. It's his only Oscar nomination, I think.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Well deserved. And I think, but my personal favorite is Working Girl, which we covered.
It was America episode 19.
America episode. Working Girl. Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Which is an iconic movie. And I think his part is sort of, you could say, I mean, he's not the lead, obviously. And anybody else who might have played it, this movie would be fine. But I think he elevates this role. He didn't have to play this role. But I think he really elevates it. He's sort of the foil to Tessa's character and kind of the motivation behind so much of what takes place in the movie. And it's not easy to make that look interesting and dynamic, and he's funny in it, but also bringing all of his charm and kind of grounds the movie while this kind of hijinksy like thing is happening. So this might be one of my personal favorites of his.
Yeah, I think charm is key too, because that character, you could make an argument that he's kind of a villain a bit in the film in terms of how he treats a lot of the characters in the movie, but you kind of let him get away with it because he's got that charm. And it's like, yeah, this could come across creepy or predatory with other actors, but it's his persona that makes that role even more interesting, because you don't hate the guy. You kind of can't hate him. He's Harrison Ford, even though he's doing stuff where like, oh, you're not really acting like a stand-up guy here. But yeah. I think that's what the movie needs, that type of performance. So I agree. Yeah. This is definitely one of his best. I also really enjoy Frantic a lot, which is a Roman Polanski film that I didn't actually see till I was in college. And that, again, like really stands out to me of the acting range of what he can do. He plays a man in France whose wife disappears and has to, you know, try to track her down and what's going on, sort of like a Hitchcock type of thing.
Right.
Again, that's where he really shows, I think, his acting chops, and he can lead a movie like that that isn't just the standard four quadrant blockbuster film. And then it's interesting, actually, when you then look at the 90s, I think he pivots back into that four quadrant blockbuster filmmaking when you have The Fugitive, which is a movie I watched a billion times as a kid and I think it's one of the best thrillers out there. And he does such an incredible job in that. And then you have his Jack Ryan films, Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger, which I both think, you know, I mentioned Jack Ryan at the outset. That was the third iconic character in my mind that he played, even though other people have played Jack Ryan, Alec Baldwin and
Chris Pine,
right. And Ben Affleck, actually. But to me, it is Harrison Ford and what he brings to Jack Ryan, that effortless, like everyday man. But when he gets physical, you know, he can actually do it. It's believable that this CIA analyst could be out there on a boat fighting a terrorist on a speedboat, like a stormy night off the coast of Maryland, like in Patriot Games. You can believe that he's doing that. Whereas Affleck and Chris Pine, and I don't know whether that would be as believable to me. But it is interesting that he seemed to go back to the safety of these films after that other period where he was playing around a little bit. I don't know. I don't know why he did that, but I love those films in the 90s a lot too, but it's just interesting to see that. I wondered if he had kept on that path of the more interesting roles and working with a more interesting set of directors like he did during that second phase we just talked about. Well, how is the 90s Harrison Ford to you?
Yeah, a lot more present, because as I was going back in his filmography, it's the Jack Ryan films that I watch probably first. And who doesn't love like a Cold War thriller movie?
Oh, yeah.
You can put him on any time kind of entertainment, but it also makes you think a little bit. So I love those movies. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know why. I guess he went back to them because A, maybe he enjoyed these more, perhaps. I don't know. And then B, you could argue that if he'd not done these and carried on with sort of more interesting, dramatic parts or what have you, I don't know if he then still stays in the mainstream public consciousness the way he did, you know? Mm-hmm. And maybe this was a calculated move, a good move, I think, that, okay, if you want to sort of have, you know, a 40, 50 year career, you got to sort of reintroduce yourself to the kids and the young people that are coming in then as a global audience through these franchise kind of blockbuster movies. But I want to believe that he probably enjoys that too.
Yeah, and maybe also could have been a test for him as well, because in the 90s, Jack Ryan was a new franchise.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like he was in any other franchise. These were all standalone, you know, Air Force One, The Fugitive.
Right.
These were not films that had a built-in audience. And maybe he left Han Solo in the 80s, Indiana Jones in the 80s. Now he's like, you know what? I want to be a box office draw with my name and not underneath those characters, perhaps. And he proved out. I mean, the 90s stretch of those films, all gigantic blockbusters, like just huge films. And it was on him, not necessarily the characters that he was playing, that was leading him through that time. So it was a little bit of a different phase than that 80s blockbuster phase. But it was just interesting that he moved kind of away from those more interesting films for a while.
Yeah.
And really, I feel, though, to me, that you mentioned What Lies Beneath already. I think that is the capstone and the move into this final sort of phase that he's in. And that role for me, it's crazy that was kind of the first one you remember, because to me, seeing that film, and he is the bad guy in that movie. And that turn, when you realize he's the villain who's actually the one who's had the affair and killed his previous lover, and now his wife potentially is going after. And it's like, oh my God, Harrison Ford is the bad guy, and a really bad guy. Like, that was not at all in the marketing. It was a huge plot twist. I really like that movie a lot. I think it's super effective. And it really, to me, though, relies upon that twist, because you never suspect Harrison Ford's the killer husband. You just don't do it, you know?
No, a pretty big, I would say, a risky move.
Mm-hmm.
One that paid off. It was a gigantic hit. The theater that I watched it in Delhi, Houseful, which is so crazy to me. I mean, a movie like this probably wouldn't even be getting made now, but
Right. Yeah. And I'll never forget the one. There's this big scene in the film where his wife's paralyzed through some drug, and he's filling up the bathtub as she's gonna drown in it.
The bathtub scene is iconic.
And the way that he uses his charm, but there's like a dark side to it for once, where you're actually terrified of Harrison Ford in this sort of, when he's filling up the tub, talking to his wife, he knows she's going to die. And I've just never seen him do something like that. That heel turn, that one scene just like was always stayed with me. And then I think since then, honestly, this is when his career kind of like slides away into uninteresting projects, not box office draws. I think he kind of stops trying. Maybe it can be tied to the fact when he married Calista Flockhart and decided to go off and like live in Wyoming and just be a happy, you know, father and husband. He just maybe stopped caring about his acting career. At least this entire last 20 years to me have been kind of phoned in performances, with very few that I feel it looks like he's trying. Perhaps maybe the Blade Runner sequel, even the two Indiana Jones films he did, I didn't like his return as Han Solo and Force Awakens. I don't know. I just feel like he wasn't trying. Maybe he just doesn't care. I don't know what your sense is of his last 20 years, or if there's any standout films. I don't really have any, to be honest.
Yeah. I agree. I think the other thing that also happened, which I don't know if this is organic to him or something that he capitalized on, was this whole like curmudgeon-y sort of persona that, you know, I'm going to be sort of the old curmudgeon-y sort of guy. And that can only extend for so long, right? It sort of has a bit of a shelf life, which is kind of sad to me, because throughout this entire episode, we've talked about his charm and his, you know, relatability and vulnerability and all of those things. And I don't know, maybe his career could have gone in a very different direction. And again, you know, it's also harder, like, for a movie star who's now entering a different phase of their life, and they also look it, like, how do you extend that without sort of alienating everything that he's built so far?
Mm-hmm.
Would it be even believable if he continues to play sort of the charming person? So maybe he decided to take a left turn and sort of be the antithesis of a charming person. So who knows what was at play? Ultimately, actors are also, you know, folks for hire. So it depends on what's being offered, what's being written. But yeah, nothing is super memorable. I will say, though, I have a soft spot for Morning Glory.
Oh, that's
the movie's not perfect.
Not seen that.
But it's quite adorable. I mean, it's sort of, you know, Devil Wears Prada set in like a news organization, but lacks the punch of Devil Wears Prada. But there's a lot of good elements in it. And I think him and his chemistry with Diane Keaton, his chemistry with Rachel McAdams is pretty amazing. That's the one movie where I feel like he actually put in the effort. It's on surface a curmudgeon-y person, but then there are layers to him. And it's really fun to see him do that. So I don't know. I wish he'd done more of that.
Oh, okay. I've actually not seen that film. I'll have to check that out. Actually, as I scan over the last 20 years, I don't think I can think of one I would say, well, this is the one I'd recommend to people if they want to see it. So maybe that's because I haven't seen Morning Glory yet. I should perhaps check that out. So yeah, looking forward, the fun role of playing his agents here, what would you recommend he do? What would you want to see him do? Just his next role, now he's stepping into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, replacing William Hurt as General Ross. So he's going to be in the new Captain America movie next summer, which is interesting that he's going back into that franchise blockbusters from the 80s that we talked about. He's returning to that space. I don't know. I have mixed feelings on that. But yeah, what would you like him or think he should be doing next?
Yeah. I mean, why can't these people just do both at the same time? That would be my thing. Like, yeah, sure, go do that. But I would love him to work with some interesting director, like go work with PDA or somebody and, you know, be cast as an older person who's complicated but charming, and like what you were saying, like build on the What Lies Beneath persona perhaps. Like lead with the charm, but then there are darker layers to him. Like that would be amazing. And you know, get an amazing nomination as supporting actor and win a competitive Oscar. Like I would love that for him as like a capstone of his entire career. Like I'm thinking of Christopher Plummer in a weird way. You know, like do a layered complicated performance like The Beginners or whatever Christopher Plummer did in his sort of latter part of his career. That's what I would want him to go do.
Yeah, I similarly hope he gets that competitive Oscar or at least the critical attention on a role, which has not happened since, like you said, since Witness in the mid 80s, though I think a lot of performances he did around that time were overlooked that could have been perhaps nominated. But for me, as I think about this last phase, and maybe to your point now, he is in real life kind of this curmudgeon-y old guy, that he hasn't really done that as a role necessarily. When they've tried to like make Han Solo sort of curmudgeon-y, it doesn't work because that's not who he is. Or Indiana Jones, that's also not who Indy really is. So I wonder if he could play like a kind of grumpy grandfather or something who then eventually, you know, learns something or grows or what have you, sort of like what Jack Nicholson was doing in the late 90s, early 2000s, where he comes across as curmudgeon, but sort of like more like a jerk way. Whereas I think with Harrison, he could do it in a way though, that there's still some kind of heart there. So that's the thing. I think he should just own his who he is now, which is sort of like this curmudgeon-y old guy who doesn't, you know, isn't be bothered to do anything and find a role that is just that. And then he could play that. And then hopefully at least get some critical attention or nomination. But at the same time, I think he just doesn't care as much anymore and just likes to fly planes and smoke pot and hang out with Calista Flockhart and his kids. That's just his life now. But there's got to be a role in that, right? That's a part that sounds kind of interesting. A curmudgeon-y old pilot.
I would argue that his 90s is that.
Oh, really?
All you of think? His roles are like that from what I remember. So I think he's already done that. It just didn't work. So I would want him to kind of flip that, like lead with a different charming persona who's like kind and really good hearted, but then you find out that there's something else going on. Like that would be more interesting to me, I think. Because also like his curmudgeon-y persona through talk shows and such is so pervasive that if I saw a trailer of a movie that he's doing the same thing, I would not be interested. I would be like, this is sort of boring.
Well, that's what I'd be there in the audience. I'll say that for that.
So hope you all enjoyed our discussion on Harrison Ford and were thinking along with us about his famous and favorite performances or movies. But this was really fun. As always, we are available on all the podcast platforms out there as well as YouTube. Please rate and review us and don't forget to subscribe as all of this really helps listeners find us. So yeah, until next time, bye.
Get off my plane.